We welcome you to our service this evening, and we pray for the Lord's blessing on us as we meet together around his word. Let us worship God as we turn in our hymn books to hymn number 55. Hymn number 55, God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. We'll sing the first four verses to God's praise. God moves in a mysterious way. Let us now turn to Amid the Trials That I Meet. We'll see it on the screen. We'll remain seated. Let us ask God's blessing on us as we meet together around his word. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we bow before thee on this Lord's Day evening and thank thee for the privilege that is ours of being able to worship thy name. We pray, Lord, that thou would suit a blessing to our individual needs as we meet around thy word tonight, and that thou would bless thy servant as he opens the book. We pray that thou wouldst write thy word upon our hearts and that we would be found among those who walk by faith and not by sight, who have thy word as a lamp to our feet and light to our path. We pray, Lord, for thy special blessing to be with those that mourn the loss of loved ones. We remember Mrs. Cairns. We also remember our brother Wilfie. And Lord, there are so many others who are going through times of sadness. We pray that thou, who art the God of all comfort, would draw near and comfort them in their time of need. Lord, we remember those who are sick in our congregation. We pray for our brother Sam tonight. We pray that thou wouldst draw near and bless him in hospital, and Lord, bless all that attend to him. We pray that thou wouldst heal him in thy mercy. We also remember Miss Slade. We pray that thou wouldst be with her and that thou wouldst strengthen her. We remember our brother Ron tonight. We pray that thou wouldst undertake for him. We also pray, Lord, for Dr. Allison and Kim Wagner. We remember our brother Richard in Jamaica. We thank thee, Lord, for bringing him through the eye surgery. We pray thy healing hand upon him. We also pray for Reverend Kevin McLeod. We pray thou wouldst undertake for him. And Lord, help us to give thee thanks for all thy mercy to us. We thank thee, Lord, for thy sparing mercy and thy watch care over us in the Whitfield. And we pray, Lord, for the blessing of God to be on all the teachers and the students and the staff. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst be as that wall of fire about us, and thou the glory in the midst. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst protect us as a congregation of thy people from this virus. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst bless us in our witness for thee, that we might be found among those who are faithful followers of the Lamb, who follow thee through good and through evil report. We pray, Lord, for thy special blessing to be with us now as we sing thy praise. May we do so from the heart. We pray this in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Let us now turn to hymn number 663. Lord, I have shut the door. Speak now the word, which in the din and throng could not be heard. Hush now my inner heart. Whisper thy will, while I have come apart, while all is still. We'll sing hymn number 663 to God's praise. Thank you. Let us now turn in God's word to the second book of Kings, chapter 4, 2 Kings, chapter 4, and we'll begin reading at verse 8 in the chapter. 2 Kings, chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table, and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king? Or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. May God bless to us this portion from his holy and infallible word to our never-dying souls. We welcome you to our service this evening, and we pray for the Lord's blessing on you as we meet together through this means. The upcoming announcements for the incoming week: on Wednesday at 7:30, there'll be a prayer and Bible study, and we'll hold that by Zoom. And then next Lord's Day, we're online at 11 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., and there's a special prayer time at 5 p.m. on Zoom. We want to give a special thanks to Dr. McClelland for the bits and pieces. Today is the 40th edition of the bits and pieces. If you haven't read it, please look it up on your email. And if you need a copy, you can ask the church to send you a copy. There's a Christmas card appeal for Reverend Milos Schultz in the Czech Republic. We're raising funds this year toward the building fund, so that they will be able to have their own place of worship. The phone directory and the address book for the church is needing to be updated. Please send information to the email at info@torontofpc.ca, and we will be able to get the phone and address book updated. Please continue to pray for those that mourn and those who are sick and suffering in our congregation. And we want to remember our seniors and our shut-ins. They're listed on the bulletin. For our offering hymn, we are going to sing, I Run to Christ. Thank you.
want to thank our brother James Fraser tonight, one of our elders, for leading the service for us and reading the scripture, bringing you all a warm word of welcome. And I extend that to everyone as well. If you're watching online tonight, you've tuned into our service here in Toronto, you are very, very welcome. We're happy that you're here. As you will know, if you've been watching at all the last couple of Lord's Days, we are in a shutdown situation because of the government regulations. And that's supposed to be happening until at least the 20th of December, but we're not sure what's going to be following after that. Nonetheless, we are thankful to the Lord. We can continue on via sermon audio, and we hope that you are able to enjoy and enter into worship in your home on the Lord's Day. Let me just bring you a quick update on our first FPC Connect Zoom Young Adult meeting. We held that last night, 7 o'clock Toronto time, and enjoyed the fellowship of those from Prince George. Brother Reverend Andrew Simpson joined us, and also some of the folks from our Calgary church. And it was a great blessing to have even some who used to attend our church some years ago and had moved back away. They were able to tune in, and also it was a great blessing just to have fellowship. So do please pray for all of our youth, not only in our church here in Toronto, but across the nation of Canada. Remember all of these folks before the Lord. If you have your Bibles open, we're going to continue our reading now in 2 Kings chapter 4. Following on at verse 18. Second Kings 4, verse 18. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, "My head, my head." And he said to the lad, "Carry him to his mother." When he had taken him, brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him, and went out. She called unto her husband and said, "Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again." And he said, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, "It shall be well." Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee." So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. It came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, "Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, 'Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?'" And she answered, "It is well." And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me." Then she said, "Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" Then he said to Gehazi, "Gird up thy loins, take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child." The mother of the child said, "As the Lord liveth, and as my soul, thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And he arose and followed her. Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, "The child is not awaked." When Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain, both of them, and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up, stretched himself upon the child, him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite." So he called her. When she was come in unto him, he said, "Take up thy son." Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground, took up her son, and went out. Join me, please, in a word of prayer before we look into the Lord's word tonight. Father, we bow our hearts and our minds at the throne of grace, the place of prayer. And Lord, we would humbly ask tonight that for the remaining time of our service, that we would be shut in with our God. That in a very real sense, we would shut the door of every distraction outside. That our focus, our mind, our prayers would be directed toward the God of heaven. Lord, I ask tonight for help in bringing this message, that the Holy Spirit would empower me to deliver the Word of God with the unction and authority of heaven, and that, Lord, you would come with power and take the Word of God and apply it to every single heart. Lord, surely there are some listening tonight who are not saved. They have never come to Christ in salvation by faith, in repentance. And I ask that tonight, Lord, you would work in their hearts in Jesus' name and for His glory. But Father, we ask also to speak to every believer. Lord, write this word and the truth of it upon our hearts. Help us to progress onward and upward in our walk with Christ, in our life, in our joy, in our peace, in being able to face those insurmountable problems and yet to face them by faith and to know the victory that there is in Christ Jesus tonight. Lord, hear our prayers. Settle us now in your holy presence. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The raising of the Shunammite's son is again one of those great accounts in the Old Testament, a miraculous account that we have, many of us at least, have known from our youngest Sunday school days, and how faithful Sunday school teachers opened the Scriptures to us, and they showed us the wonders of God. They showed us the power of prayer. They relayed to us how God worked through the life of His faithful servant, Elisha. We come tonight again to consider this account in the life of God's servant. And we've already read in the context tonight about how Elisha passed through the town, the city called Shunem, and was there spotted by a prominent woman. And she constrained him because she observed by the visits that he gave there that he was a man of God. This is not the first time that this characteristic or trait has been noted in the life of this man. And I have impressed upon you, as I do upon myself, that what a testimony that is. A Christian, it is a good thing for you and I to pray that we will be noted and marked as people of God. Too often, has it not been the opposite case? That the world, by our behavior, by our mess-ups, by our foul-up, well, they've noted, is that person a Christian? Really? No, let that not be the case. But let it always be the case that by our interaction with people, and we're not told anything about what happened with Elisha, and she just noted that as he had come and they had opened up their home for hospitality, he came. They noted he was a man of God. And then this woman, she said to her husband, I think we should make a place that he would find hospitable, comfortable, so that when he's traveling here, he will come and stay with us. And so she did just that. They prepared in the wall of their home a small chamber. It had a bed, it had a table, had a stool, and had a lampstand. Not opulent by any sense of their imagination, but you know, Elisha, he was very content to dwell in that place. And you know, this tells us also something further about the man of God. He wasn't someone who had to have all the opulence set before him. It was just very basic. And in fact, when he was staying there, he said to Gehazi, go call the Shunammite to come because she has shown to us all this great kindness. What kindness? A bed, a stool, a table, a little lamp, not even a picture hanging on the wall that we're told of. But it was seen by the man of God as an act of great kindness. And as he was a humble man before the Lord, he received such blessing and he counted it a great blessing. Sometimes, friends, it's a good thing for us to be very thankful when someone offers or gives us something that might be not seen by the world as being much of anything, yet it's given by kind hands. It's given by hands out of genuineness and generosity. Let us not be so smug or thinking that we deserve so much better, but we will receive it kindly and graciously. And so Elisha did, and he called this woman to come and said, how can I show you thankfulness for your kindness to me? Do you want me to speak to the king for you? Because he had inroads there. Elisha was a man of God who had authority. But she says, no, I dwell among my own people. Ah, there's something precious there too, you know, of what that woman said. I just dwell among my own people. I'm not asking for anything else. But Gehazi said, this woman does not have a child. Their home was childless. Oh, that's what Elisha, by God, a miracle will occur in the sense that they were past the age. It seemed that she was past the age of childbearing. And God gave that miracle and a child 1 year later was born into the home. I want you to notice verse 17 and 18 of this chapter because there is quite a gap between these two verses. Obviously, Elisha and Gehazi had left their home at that time and several years passed by. I would suggest to you at least 13 to 14 years. 13 to 14 years could be fit in between verse 17 and verse 18. And so, the account that comes to us is one that is quite fascinating, because we know that the child had a problem, and the woman comes to seek for the man of God's help. And the account before us tonight that deals with the raising of this child up is something I want us to draw our attention toward this evening. Because here in this account, Elisha is a wonderful type and picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how Elisha toiled himself, bearing a burden that was not his own. It was a burden of someone else. And yet he took it upon himself as his own burden, just as our Lord Jesus Christ has done that for us. And I pray that through this account we will observe and see God's great love for us, Christ's great love for us, and how He has given Himself. He has taken our burden, and He has given us life in place of death. Please notice in the first place tonight, the Shunammite's distress became Elisha's burden as Christ bears our burdens. The child was grown to at least an age where he was able to go out and help his father in the field. We do not know how old he was, but he was still called a child. Was he 12 years old, 13 maybe, a young teenager, maybe not even quite that old? We're not exactly sure at all. But I say to you that this day that the child went out was a day that started like any other day. It was not unusual. It involved a normal activity of getting up, preparing for the day, eating, traveling out to the field. And this day, the boy went with his father to do a day's work. It was one of those ordinary days that had a number of time slots in it. But on one of those scheduled time slots, there would be a sovereign incident, an unexplained event happened. But I say this to you, my friend, it was part of the providence of God, unseen by human eye, but particularly in the order of events of our sovereign God. While in the field with the father, the son suffered some severe head issue, and he was taken to his mother, and not long after that, the little boy, the child, died. We're told that when the child had come to that years, an only child, a child full of promise, undoubtedly, a child that was given lots of expectation for life, this was the prize of the mother, the joy of the father. And yet, all of the expectation that they had in seeing their son grow, and all of the hope they had that the child would take over and now be able to receive the inheritance of the parents, all of a sudden, in a moment, it seemed just in a flash, their hopes were taken from them. And the child is now lying in the arms of the mother, lifeless. You know, friends, are we prepared in our life for those unexpected, unexplained time slots of a sovereign God, when something that we had not planned, something that we had not expected, will all of a sudden be brought into our life, be placed upon us, and it will so turn things upside down that we will not know what has hit us. This happened to that woman, that family, that day, and it can happen to us in our day. Are we prepared for such a thing? This is both practical for us, but it's also spiritual, my friend. And we must be wise to observe these events and prepare ourselves by faith for the day of adversity that may come. It might be that things are very smooth now in many lives, but it's time now, as winter is soon going to be upon us, you need to make preparation, for you don't know what storms will come. We don't know what a day will bring forth. Sunshine now, but maybe cloud and overcast and snow and ice and hail. The Shunammite son was placed by the mother in the prophet's chamber, and the woman rushed to see Elisha, throwing herself down at his feet and saying virtually, "Why have you deceived me? I asked for a child, you gave me a son, and now he has been taken away." It made no sense to her whatsoever. In fact, she almost felt like she was being mocked by all the kindness she had shown to God's servant over the years. But friends, this was not anything of Elisha's fault, but he was, in a real sense, being blamed by the distress that this woman was under and overcome. She was out of control, in one sense. Sometimes, you know, we face situations in our life where people under great distress and grief of heart, they might do things and behave in a way that seems so unreasonable to us. It might even become hurtful to us when they would maybe blame us for something that is not our fault. But just a moment. Take a deep breath. Before we react in a negative way in those circumstances, let us try to enter into the situation of that individual. Let's try to feel ourselves and be able to walk in their shoes for a moment. And then maybe we'll not react so negatively as we are prone to do. At times like that, boy, we need to have an extra supply of the grace of God. We need to be very gracious and understanding and to deal with them kindly in such a time as this. My friend, I say to you tonight that our Lord Jesus Christ is a great burden bearer for us. We are told to cast our burdens upon the Lord, and He will be the one to sustain us. When we take God at His word, and we come to Him with our greatest burdens, that of the sin of our own soul, He has promised to do what? He has promised to take away our burden. He has promised, dear brother and sister, to take our guilt, the guilt of our iniquity upon Him, and to wash us clean. And what does the Lord do in taking that burden upon Himself? He takes away the weight of our guilt and our sin. And you know what He has done? He has given to us a new heart, a new life. He has given to us eternal hope. My friend tonight, if you're not a Christian, stop and think and know this, that Christ Jesus has gone to the cross to bear the burden of your sin and to take your guilt away, to give you life and hope, indeed eternal life. And yet today, at this point in time, you have still rejected Him. You have not received the the gift of salvation. What would hold you back now from taking that tremendous blessing and gift of God? Your friends hold you back. Your idea of having fun in life and enjoying the pleasures of sin, that might hold you back. The idea that you could never keep your salvation, well, why should you step out then if you know you're not going to be able to keep it? Oh, a thousand things Satan will bring to your mind just now as to why you should not come to the Lord. Oh, but friend, think of the offer of mercy. Think of the love of God that's been extended toward you. And dare you trample under your foot the Son of God in rejecting and refusing Him? No, friend, no. Never do that. Do not do that now. But open your heart and receive the gift that God has given to you. But let me apply this truth for a moment to those of you who are Christians, all of us. You know, whatever happens in your life that is unexpected and shocking, and it will leave you devastated, maybe broken and bruised inside, wondering to yourself, has God forgotten to be gracious? Whenever you think that, just remember, friend, that behind a frowning providence, there smiles a God of love. He will give grace to bear the trial. He will give grace to carry you through, that though the outcome may be very different than what you had hoped for, yet we are brought to trust in Him at all times, to know that He is the one who is in control, who knows the end from the beginning. And He places in our pathway every detail and every purpose. Well, the Shunammite distress, it had become Elisha's burden, just as Christ Himself is the one who is our burden bearer. Notice, please, in the second place, the shutting the door to get alone with God in the death chamber was a great battleground for Elisha. As Christ Himself wrestled alone for us, that was His great battleground. Elisha sends Gehazi to take his staff and place it on the face of the child, but nothing happened. The boy remained lifeless. The prophet arrives, he goes straight up to his room, and there's the lifeless body of the boy lying on the bed. The child was dead. And Elisha shuts the door on the two of them, the mother and Gehazi. Neither one of them were going to be in the room now, because Elisha had come face to face with his need to get before his God alone. Believer, I say this to you tonight. There are times in your life when something so devastating has happened that you cannot share your heart or anything with anyone else. It's time for you to be alone with God in isolation. And that's exactly where Elisha was at that night, that time. Now in verse 34, we read these words. And Elisha went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child. I don't know about you, but when I read that account, it strikes me as something bizarre, very, very strange. And after he did that, the flesh of the child became warm. And then Elisha got up and he walked in the room, in the house, obviously praying, obviously with a heavy burden upon his heart. What was he doing? He was crying out to God. He was praying and seeking the Lord. And then he went back into the room again by himself. He lay himself upon the child once more. And then something very strange happened again. The child, we're told, sneezed 7 times, opened his eyes, and life was brought back into him again. This is a strange, very unusual remedy of Elisha that we have here. Oh, but friend, I say to you that the Word of God does not waste any account. And the lesson I believe that is given to us here is that in this situation, Elisha presents for us a wonderful type of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we see in this picture what our Lord has actually done for us, so that we could be delivered from death and be given new life. Our Lord, here in this account, He associated Himself with us as sinners in the very point of our greatest need. Jesus was willing to take unto Himself human flesh in order to connect Himself with humanity, sinful humanity. And so He became bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. Though He was sinless, yet He was truly and really and perfectly a human being. The wonder, my dear friend, of the incarnation is a wonder that we cannot fathom and explain, that God became man. That immortality took on the form and the shape of mortal man. And our Lord Jesus Christ comes to connect Himself with sinful humanity in order that He might enter right into the place of our greatest need. The boy was dead and could do nothing for himself. And friends, you and I, we were dead in trespasses and in sins. And Jesus Himself came to our lifeless soul and He exchanged life for life. He exchanged death for death. Is this not the wonder of divine grace? Can you see, my friend, tonight that Jesus Christ Himself matched Himself with us eye for eye, mouth for mouth, hand for hand? And in this we have a wonderful picture of the double imputation of Christ's righteousness. What did He do for us on Calvary? Oh, my dear friend, He took unto Himself our sin. He took unto Himself our wickedness, our guilt. And at that moment, God poured out the wrath of His upon sinful flesh. And that wrath for sin came upon Jesus, and He took my guilt to Himself. And at that moment, there was another transaction, for He gave to me His righteousness. He gave to me His life. He gave to me all that I need to give me spiritual hope and eternal life. And this was a great transaction that occurred then on Calvary's cross, where Jesus gave himself an offering and a sacrifice for sinners. Oh, friend, do not rush away from this spot tonight. Stop and think of the great cost of our redemption. For what Elisha did for the boy, was it not a humbling thing? Think about it. How selfless was Elisha then? He comes to this boy, a cold corpse on his bed, and he places himself, life upon death. Would you do that? Would you come near to someone who is not of your own family, who is dead? And would you place yourself upon that lifeless body? This is a very strange thing, but what a selfless act that God's servant did. Yet, Christ not only did this, but so much more. He did not just come near to death, but he entered into death in order that you and I can be brought back from death, that we could have life. Christ died for me an atoning death. He suffered in agony and shame for rebels and sinners like we are. Oh, how deep the Father's love for me. How vast beyond all measure that He should give Himself for me. Such grace is all my treasure. Christ put His eyes of life against my eyes of death. And He gave me spiritual sight. He put His mouth upon my mouth of death in order to give me the breath of spiritual life. And He placed His hands of life upon my hands of death in order that I might be brought to life, in order to give myself in service for Him, to let my hands work for the Lord. This is what our Savior has done for us, friend, tonight. And this is the picture that is brought before us. The Word of God was made flesh and dwelt. And the Word is tabernacled among us. Or could we say tabernacled over us? Upon us, because Christ in so doing becoming flesh, the Word becoming man, He did that so we could be given the gift of His own life, of His own eyesight, of His own breath, of His own merit, so that we could serve and live for Him. That's what I say, friend, tonight. Let us not rush away from this account. It is so precious. It is so full of meaning. Alexander McLaren wrote this. Elisha laid himself down on the dead child, hand to hand, mouth to mouth, lip to lip, and heart to heart, that the throbbing heart might move the pulseless, and the warmth might steal into the dull, cold frame, so Christ lays his life to our death, and in him we live and move. In him we are quickened together. We are raised up together. Oh, the staff that was in Gehazi's hand, that wouldn't do it. No. And you know, all of the Old Testament types and shadows, all the sacrifices of the blood of 1,000 animals that were slain, none of those could do it. Because none of those things could take away our sin. They were insufficient. And yet, they gave a picture that led to who was all sufficient to give us life. He gave himself an offering and a sacrifice for sin. He died, my friend, the just one, for the unjust one, that he might bring us to God. I want you to note that the effort that Elisha gave was a great effort in this situation. He showed that it was no easy case before him. We've noted in other situations, for example, when he told the kings of Israel and Edom, Jehoshaphat, you remember when they were called to dig in the valley in order that water would come? He just told them what to go and do. Other times, Elisha simply stepped back and commanded them what to do. In the case of Naaman, he didn't even come out to see Naaman, the leper, the Syrian. He just told Naaman, go and wash in the water in the River Jordan. But not so here, friend. Here, Elisha's staff, it was insufficient. The man himself had to come. And it was something that stretched him and poured out his soul. And I say to you that the picture of Christ, the great Creator, the one who spoke a word and all of creation came into being, but not so for the salvation and redemption of our soul. It took much more of Christ than that. Not just a word would do. He had to come and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood and endure indescribable suffering, and to give his life to obtain salvation for his people. This, my friend, is holy in the extreme. It demanded an effort that was so great, so vast, so unfathomable. It could not be done by anyone else but the Son of God himself. Have you thought again of the cost, friend, of your redemption? Have you thought again about what it meant for the Holy One to bear away our sin? Alexander Stewart wrote, "He created the world by a simple word of his power. But the redemption of man cost him infinite toil and pain." Friend, if you're outside of Christ tonight, is it nothing to you? All you that pass by, behold and see, is there any sorrow? Is there any suffering? Is there any pain like unto Christ? And yet is your heart still unmoved? Can you just ignore, close your mind, walk away, say some other time? No, friend. The cost is too high. Behold the wounds that are in the hands of Christ. Behold the scar in his side. While we are not able, my friend, to atone for our own sins, because Jesus has paid the price, we have also a tremendous example here of the compassion that we are to have for others. Elisha shows us this, and we will see it in our own Savior's life, that we are to mirror his example. We're to bear the burdens of others, to be selfless. That's so hard, isn't it? In our world of centering on self and pride that we have to deal with in our own hearts, to be selfless to the point of mirroring the person of our Savior. Oh, that's what we would pray for. That's what we need to see in our life, that we can indeed step forward by His grace to reach out and help others. Elisha shut the door, and he got alone with God to bear the burdens of someone else. When's the last time, friend, that you got alone with God, not for yourself or any needs that you have, but you got alone with God for the needs of someone else, and you weighed hard before the Lord and laid hold upon Him? Oh, that's what we need to do in a fellowship of God's people, to bear one another's burdens. I say the more that we do that, the more that God will bring the light into our own hearts and the joy of service into our own spirit and soul. Because in so doing, when we get to the point of shutting the door, we're shutting the world out for whatever time it takes. All the pressing responsibilities. We need to say, no, I'm not going to do that. Because my friend, my brother, my sister is in need, and their need is more pressing than that phone call or that email. I'm going to get to it now. To isolate ourselves from other distractions. To resist the powers of hell. For how Satan wants to stop us from praying, and he will bring up every obstacle. Listen to what Samuel Chadwick said. The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil. He mocks at our wisdom. But he trembles when we pray. That's the power that we have, you know. Power with God, power with men. We're so often weak. We must come and close the door and wrestle with God, as Jacob did. And wrestle until we see the answer through. This is the Spirit of Christ. For our Lord Jesus wrestled alone in the garden. He wrestled with the powers of hell, not for his own sin or problems, but for ours. Both the mental, the emotional, the physical pressure on our Lord, it can't be understood by finite human minds. And God made him to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, is beyond our comprehension. And yet it happened. And the Lord did it because He loves us. Yes, the Shunammite's distress became Elisha's burden, as Christ bears our burdens. And shutting the door to be alone with God in the death chamber was a great battleground for Elisha, as Christ wrestled on the battleground for us. And finally tonight, shutting the door to be alone with God will prove to be the place of greatest victory. For Elisha, his faith was put to the test, and he proved God in prayer. But don't think for a moment that the mother was not praying for her son at that time as well. If you agree on earth, as two of you agree on earth, as touching anything you desire of the Lord, according to His perfect will, He will give you the answer to that prayer. Hebrews 11:39 talks about women receiving their dead raised to life again. That prophecy in Hebrews 11 applies directly to the Shunammite. It's a fulfillment of that word. As Elisha prayed through for the victory, he was following the path of his earthly master Elijah. For that's what he did. It's what our Lord Jesus has done for us. What power has He shown us in the place of prayer? Our Lord Jesus is our great intercessor. He is interceding for us now at the right hand of the throne of His Father in heaven. Believer, be encouraged in this, that as you are laboring and fighting through the storm, Christ is praying for you. And with the Lord Jesus in the vessel of your life, you'll be able to go through that storm. He will not see you capsized. We think of the monumental obstacles that we face. But know this, that our Lord faced much greater and stronger, and yet He conquered Satan and death. And He commands us to follow in the train, in the pathway of His triumph. Yes, the obstacles we face are sometimes like a steeplechase, whether it's a water hole obstacle or some high wall or some hole or ditch. Yes, and we're running in our spiritual race, but we're not running alone. And what various hindrances we meet in coming to the mercy seat. Yet who that knows the worth of prayer but wishes to be often there? Yet remember, we are to live in the victory of Calvary. There are loved ones that we have that are dead in trespasses and sins. And to get alone with God, to pray for them, and to see God answer openly for their salvation is a reward that is both inexpressible, because it's a reward of a soul saved and one that will be in glory forever. And I say tonight, what impossible things do we have to face? Let's bring them to the Lord. Let's by faith lay hold upon Him, shutting the door and bringing them all to God in prayer. And we will know that though we do not have a situation maybe as serious as this Shunammite, although when we think of a loved one that is dead, father, mother, do you have loved ones that are dead in their sins? Well, it's no different from the Shunammite son. What do? You bring it to God in prayer, laying hold upon the Lord to see spiritual life, to see Christ's life imposed upon them. And they will be brought to life. Pray on. Let us unite one with another in our prayers, that we will pray on and press on, because the victory is in Christ Jesus alone. We're in Him tonight, friend. Let us walk in life's journey in the fellowship of our God, rejoicing in Him and through Him. And let the devil not cast us down to look at all the problems. Never mind those problems. Yes, they'll come, and maybe a whole host more. But we're in the hand of an eternal God. And being in His hands, let us rest there. Let us with joy anticipate how the victory will come to us with great joy. Let us glorify the Lord, therefore, by our faith, and glorify the Lord by our trusting in Him in times, in all times. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Lord, we ask this night that this so well-known account of Elisha and the Shunammite, that its story will have come to us tonight with fresh power and application. Father, take now when the words of man are silent, Spirit of God will speak on. Save souls, we pray. Lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. Let us bring our impossibilities before a God to whom nothing is impossible. Increase our faith. Lord, bless the faith that we have, though it might be weak. Yet our faith is grounded firmly and settled. So, Lord, help us as we arise tomorrow and face another week's work and all that that means. Give us the power of the Holy Spirit carry us forward, that we might rejoice and be thankful and be joyful in Him. Hear our prayers tonight. We ask all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.